my Wampus cat died.
Aww. This is the Feet of Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Randy? Can you feel it?
Yes, yes, all the way down south here where the weather is warm and the palm trees are swaying here in mid-Missouri. How are you,
all
Lou?
All the way. I'm doing fine, and I can feel it all the way down to my fiend bone. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
That would be so your Freedom Fiend bone, right?
Yeah. So what's new and exciting in the world of Randy?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm still retired. And since I was on last, which probably it was 2 weeks ago, I am no longer even legally a lawyer. I actually quit practicing last summer, but it gets to the end of the year and, they want more money. They always want more. You know, once a year they want you to send them a nice check, and I didn't send them the check, so I'm officially out on my ear.
Is that from the Missouri State Bar or
Missouri State? Either way you want it. I don't belong to either one of them. So
you quit the bar to go to the bar.
I've been to the bar a few times since then, sure.
I bet you have. I've seen you in action.
Oh, come on now.
So let's get into the show material for tonight. First up, I want to talk about California. So a quick question for you before we get started, Randy. Are you ready?
Yes. I don't know.
On a scale of Jeff Sessions to Willie Nelson, how do you feel about marijuana?
I prefer Willie. Robert Mitchum or someone like that.
I heard mention of the Robert Mitchum thing. What exactly happened? What was that? Do you know?
Robert Mitchum, I think he's famous for having said he was high every day of his life or something like that. But in relation to this California thing that we're going to talk about, the California marijuana initiative, that now it's recreational marijuana is legal there. Robert Mitchum really led the way because all the way back, I think in 19, you got me off the top of my head. I didn't know you would ask this, but I did know something about it.
Don't worry, I didn't know I was going to ask either.
In 1948, Robert Mitchum was arrested. There was some B actress in Hollywood that he was, I don't know, hanging around with or something, but he and this actress were at some real estate developer's house. And it turned out that it was a setup, and I don't know if she was accused of being a supplier, but they had marijuana, and the police came and broke down the doors and arrested Robert Mitchum, and threw him in jail. I think he was in jail for a couple of months, and at the time, I believe it was a felony to possess any amount. If I remember right, something like you could get up to 10 years for having marijuana. And he was the first person of note that ever got caught with marijuana in this country and was thrown in jail for it. And they might have later squelched the search or something because the cops, back in those days, the cops felt like if a door was opened, they could just blow through it. And I'm not sure that they could ever really do that, but they were a little more free and easy, if possible, back then. And he became real famous. Her career was destroyed, which is why I can't remember her name. And his career was fine. I don't know that there's some kind of
male privilege.
Male female thing, but accused of being the supplier, and so he was kind of the lead guy, the first big story of a celebrity or anyone who was known getting caught and prosecuted for possession or use of marijuana.
Now, that's
all. That's all I can't remember.
Okay, so that was
I wasn't born then.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
That was back in the days when cannabis was still considered the devil's lettuce. And if you were in possession of the devil's lettuce, not only did you violate the law, but you were an enemy of all of humanity. You were an enemy of all that was good and righteous, and you hated kittens. Bugger hates kittens.
You know, they make such a big joke out of, what is that movie, Reefer Madness?
Yeah.
You know, a big joke out of that, because the thing is, it's really ridiculous. But all of that stuff about, you know, if you use it, you turned into a crazed maniac, rapist, murderer, that apparently was thought at one time. Not by, you know, anyone who knew anything, but they published articles and that sort of thing, and law enforcement types repeated those things, and I suppose people would have believed it at the time, even though now, you know, most people know enough to know that for whatever effects marijuana may have, it's not really closely associated with violence, except from prohibition of it, which of course, you know, you prohibit anything.
There's been connected with violence. There's been a lot of reefer madness that perpetuated through the years, particularly the effects of it. I remember back in high school, there were some people that smoked weed quite a bit, and they were the burnout types. To put it mildly, I mean, they were pretty much a mess. And one of them in particular, I grew up down the street from him, and I had always thought to myself, I says, my God, we just did him in, all those drugs. And later on, when I started to think back on it, he was never really that sharp to begin with. So I don't think that it had the major effects that I had suspected back in the day.
Because you remember he'd been a dim bulb in the third grade too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it certainly didn't help him out at all, and it probably had an impact on him a bit, but I don't think that it was the leading cause of him winding up the way that he did. I think that was in his destiny would be a good way to put it. I'm not usually one of these people that says fate and destiny, but he was never really going to get a whole lot smarter.
Now, yeah, that really is true. People that I have known that ended up in a whole lot of trouble. I had one guy I went to grade school with for 8 years, and he was just a complete bad apple from first grade, and he was always into fights, and he wasn't very smart, and blah blah blah, and got into drugs, you know, when he was early, you know, a teenager. By the time he was out of grade school, he got into it, and ended up coked out, frozen to death on a Walmart parking lot by the time he was 22 years old. But for somebody that knew him since he was 5 years old, it wasn't the drugs that you know. The drugs were a symptom of whatever his problems were, not the other way around. That was just the end game.
Yeah, same with this guy. He didn't get into a bunch of trouble. He wasn't stealing cars or anything like that. Because there were plenty of people I went to high school with that were boosting cars, and they wound up doing some time down the road for Grand Theft Auto and just all sorts of other stuff. And some of them wound up going pretty hardcore as far as their criminal route. But this guy here, he was mostly just a dim bulb, not real sharp. And probably had some developmental disabilities. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so let's get back to California. Speaking of
California,
mentally disabled. So California has, by declaration, taken the devil's lettuce, and as I mentioned before, those who consume the devil's lettuce, those who have it and use it, they were enemies of humanity and enemies of all that was good and righteous and hated kittens. But with a stroke of a pen, a declaration was made, and these persons were no longer the outlaws of society, but they were the new taxpayers. What happened out in California, Randy? Tell us about the longer leash.
You mean that they allow their citizens now to purchase or sell and purchase marijuana, and they don't even have to pretend that it's for medical purposes?
Right, but some restrictions do apply. I believe there's a limit on...
Now, I haven't read the bill.
Now, I was reading like a synopsis of the new rules, and it comes down to they are allowed to have, I believe it's about an ounce, something like that. So if you're at 28 grams, you're okay. If you're at 29 grams, then you're a criminal kitten hating enemy of humanity and righteous and good and all that other nonsense.
Unless you're a seller, right?
If you're a seller, then you can have a little bit more. And they get to pay a nice hefty amount for the privilege of being able to use cannabis.
I wonder how much that license is.
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. From what I understand, the taxes on it are high enough to where the black market, the illegal weed, isn't going to have to adjust their prices a whole lot more to be competitive. Because the thing about illegal weed in places like Colorado and I think, is it Washington or Oregon where they legalize it? I think it's
Oregon.
Washington.
Okay.
Well, maybe that's why they can't figure out how to pump their gas in Oregon.
They're both up there in the corner, yeah. And you know, long way from here.
But anyway, in places like that where you have legal cannabis, it doesn't kill the illegal market. It just forces them to lower their prices so that they have to compete with the legal stuff. And with the taxes being as high as they are, it makes it a lot easier for them to compete. So we'll be back after his trip to the market. And good news from Nick. He sent us a proof of life message from the refugee camp out there in Oregon.
Is that right?
It appears they're having a hard time pumping their own gas out there. But anyway, we'll be back.
Well, I'd like to hear that story.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. And we are back. This is Lynn. I'm joined by Randy. Randy England, Emeritus.
Hey. That's Fiends Council Emeritus to you, me, Lou.
Okay.
Emeritus means I'm too old to do it anymore. But but having done it for a while, you pretend to honor me.
Yes, because you are the Liberty grandfather. And we thank you for your service.
Well, I would really like is that when we finally get free, that they don't come and string me up for having been a prosecutor for so many years. And I'd just be happy with that. I don't really need to be honored.
Well, you might have to go through a Nuremberg show trial, but we'll paperclip you and smuggle you off into Ancapistan where you'll be safe.
Well, yes. I'd probably be safer if I knew how to build rockets or something, but I don't. Yeah,
or had information on the Soviets. But anyway.
Yes, anyway.
So, California. California has decided that their citizens are no longer the enemies of humanity for possessing what used to be known as the devil's lettuce, now is known as recreational marijuana. And it's really interesting because I started the show with a joke on a scale of Jeff Sessions to Willie Nelson. How do you feel about marijuana. And Jeff Sessions, the little Keebler elf that he is, has a real fascination with the devil's lettuce and throwing people into the dungeon of his Keebler treehouse for possessing the devil's lettuce.
He's a real pervert about this.
Oh yeah, he's a real piece of something about it.
But he
had recently come out and said that the Obama era policy of not going after cannabis in the states that have legalized it on the state level, that's out the window, and they're going to go back to being the supreme power and just doing as they will and plundering and pillaging as they please and see fit, and arresting those potheads, even in the places where, by vote of a referendum of the plebiscite, using the democratic process, the people had determined that they wish to have the devil's lettuce,
or in a
republic type environment where they elect representatives to make their decisions for them, much like adults do with children. It has been decided that they will have the devil's lettuce in their salad at night.
If they can pull it off.
Now, what's really interesting is what has been done, particularly in California. I have three different articles here, and I believe all three of them are written by Mike Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center. One is on his personal website, MikeMeharry.com, and he talks about state nullification out in California, and they have used state nullification. Incidentally, usually these left liberal California type states hate state nullification because they feel that nullifying federal laws by state government is going to bring back slavery and all this other stuff. And they want federal power to be supreme, but they only want it to be supreme when their party is in charge.
So but California is doing it over and over now.
Yes. Oh, and not to mention after the election of Trump, all those racist neo-Confederates out in California were talking about seceding so that they could bring back slavery.
They're obviously racist neo-Confederates in California, yeah, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, because all
secessionists... Because that's what happens if you like secession.
Yeah, all secessionists want to bring back slavery. So, as I said, those neo-Confederates out there, racists, all of them, every last one of them, they want to bring
back slavery. By definition.
Yep, because they like state nullification, they like state powers, and they like secession. So anyway,
your logic is impeccable.
Absolutely, it always is. But it's even more. It's impeccabler tonight. So anyway, this article comes to us from Sacramento, June 1st, 2017. Today, the California Assembly passed a bill to withdraw state resources from medical marijuana prohibition enforcement. Introduced by Assemblyman Reginald Jones Sawyer, Democrat of Los Angeles, Assembly Bill 1578 would ban the use of agency money, facilities, property, equipment, or personnel to assist a federal agency to investigate, detain, detect, report, or arrest a person for commercial or non-commercial marijuana. We'll be right back.
That's huge, Lou.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
for entertainment purposes only.
This is Lou, and I'm joined by Randy, and we are talking about California has decided that their citizens may be allowed to use the marijuanas. So before we went to break, I was talking about a law that was passed out there, or actually I should say an arbitrary declaration by political idiots. But anyway, in this, it will forbid any agency money, facilities, property, equipment, or personnel to assist a federal agency to investigate, detain, detect, report, or arrest a person for commercial or non-commercial marijuana or medical cannabis activity that is authorized by state law in the state of California. So what they have done is they have engaged in state nullification, and they have told the feds, go pound sand. And I do have to make a little minor correction. This article from the 10th Amendment Center is written by Michael Bolden. And interestingly enough, as I understand it, is he was a probably left-leaning, would be a safe way to put it, left-leaning type guy who became concerned over the civil liberties under President Bush after in the post-9/11 era, with the USA Lock Up All the Patriots Act and all the other nonsense that went along with that. And unlike most lefties, he stayed true to the idea of protecting civil liberties and maintained his viewpoint even when Obama came in.
Now, are you saying that this is, you feel like this is a bad bill?
No. I think all legislation is bad. I think it's completely unnecessary. And ultimately, what
well,
it's
that
doing
part.
Is, I like that is thumbing their noses in the face of the federal government and saying no, our government violence is superior to your government violence. But ultimately, it's still government violence. I don't want to see cannabis legalized. I want to see it decriminalized, because with the legalize it, regulate it, and tax it, you wind up with the basically a prohibition still, except instead of straight up prohibition, you're dealing with regulation, which means that when the SWAT team goes in there, like they're still doing out in Colorado, when the SWAT team goes in and takes down a building, they have their rifles and their pistols and all sort of stuff, but a couple of them are also carrying clipboards because they're enforcing regulation. But make no mistake, the SWAT raids are still happening out there, because you have to be following all the terms and conditions that your liberty is subject to.
You mean SWAT raids with regard to marijuana?
Yes, out in Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to happen out in California, because somebody's going to be doing it outside of, you know, maybe an inch or so outside of the regulations, and that will provide the police agencies an opportunity to go in there and say, you're breaking the law by not following all the rules that have been set up for you to exercise your freedom. And it's happening here in Michigan, where medical cannabis has been legal for quite some time, but the local sheriff's departments and everybody else are going out and they're taking doors and really harassing the providers in just an absolute horrible way.
Are the providers, they're openly selling in storefronts, aren't they?
Yes. But in some cases, they're going in there and they're not even arresting people. They're just confiscating money and product and saying, all right, well, too bad. You know, kind of like Omar, the stick-up guy from The Wire. He'd go around robbing drug dealers, take their money, take their package, and go sell it on his own. I don't know if the cops are selling the cannabis that they're confiscating, but I understand there's been numerous occasions where they've gone in there and confiscated product, confiscated the money, and not taken anybody to jail. But ultimately, it's just the American version of the KGB trying to stamp out capitalism, because that's what they're doing, sir.
The purpose of this law, though, and is to ban any of the agencies, law enforcement agencies in particular, I'm sure,
from assisting the feds.
And in addition, I think it went on to say there's a thing about the law prevented them from sharing information with the federal government about the cannabis businesses or the consumers who were in compliance with the state law. And the big rub with this thing is that, and I don't know if, you know, I mean, what the numbers exactly come out, but it does say that FBI statistics show that law enforcement makes up a law enforcement makes approximately 99 out of 100 marijuana arrests under state, not federal law. And that means your city cops, your local sheriff's deputies, your state patrol, they're making 99 out of 100 arrests, and those are now gone. And those are arrests that end up in federal court, too. They don't all end, just because they're arrested originally by state agents. One thing I did for, you know, a long time before I retired was defended people, you know, in the drug cases in federal court. And I never saw a case that originated with the feds. It's always the locals. And when you bring in, you know, the main guy, you know, who's the lead guy on the case, and no matter how big the case is, it could be a big drug bust that brings in 30 drug dealers all at one time. It's always a local guy, always a local deputy or city cop. And I can't imagine how the feds can possibly enforce the law in the same way that it was done before, if they decide to get tough on this, say in California or Colorado, whatever. We've got a here in Missouri, the where marijuana is not legal in any way at all. We've got a city council in St. Louis that is making noises about legalizing marijuana in the city, and telling their cops that they're not going to arrest anybody for it, and there won't be, you know, basically they'd be just nullifying the state government. And the governor is, you know, they're making noises, he's going to send in the highway patrol. But the problem is that there are more cops in St. Louis City than there are troopers in the entire state in the highway patrol. And so they cannot begin to, and they'd have to strip everybody out of the rest of the state to go in and still have fewer troopers there than they had cops on the street before it started. So it can't work. And that's the real rub that the feds are up against. The feds, I mean, as powerful as they are and oppressive as they are, they're just weak on the ground. They're just so thin, they can't do anything. I mean, if there was, unless they brought the army in, and I don't know how those numbers would end up comparing, but without the army, the number of DEA agents and FBI agents is trivial compared to local law enforcement.
Yeah. Now, what they can do is they can bring people in from other, from the various different alphabet agencies, and they can bring them in from other cities and deploy them to one. But that is going to limit their ability to inflict tyranny across the country all at once. They'll have to concentrate their tyranny in one area.
They have to go in one thing. And the thing that's so rough about it, if California had actually legalized the way that you would say that you would like it done, Lou, and I would agree with you, if they had just said marijuana is as legal as soybeans, all right, and as regulated as soybeans. In other words, we're not going to bother you at all, you know, as long as you use fair weights and measures and pay taxes on your profits. But if there was no big support apparatus where the feds could even know who to go after, it would make it impossible. But when California says they're not going to share the names of the businesses that sell, well, the businesses, anyone can find out the business, the legal businesses. All you have to do is drive down the street and look for, what is it, the big green cross on the window of the dispensary? I don't know if they do that everywhere. They will be. I mean, if Sessions decides to get nasty, they'll just start going in and making an example of the sellers. And they that's what I'm afraid could happen. If they decide to get tough, they'll end up tearing the whole thing down because they can hit these one at a time. How many of these guys do you can you send to prison for 20 years? With the amounts that they have in these stores, most of them would be serving life for that much marijuana. And I don't know how many people would get sent for long, long federal sentences. Now, the only safeguard, I guess, behind that, if they started bringing them in, what would a jury do?
I think the jury would nullify, and I don't know how the federal prosecutor would go. I think it could be possible that a local prosecutor, if a local prosecutor is supposed to try this case, I would hope that he is as lazy about it as he would be if a cop killed a kid. I would hope that he would put in as little effort to convict somebody for cannabis as he puts in for getting his coworker convicted for killing people.
But we're talking federal prosecutors.
Well, I'm saying if it wound up going at the local level, but there may be one saving grace politically, and I don't advocate the use of politics, but the one saving grace politically that's going on is that with the keyboard elf flapping his little yapper and saying, we got to get rid of the devil's lettuce because then people are going to be doing swing dancing and all that other stuff. Yeah. One thing, it may push Congress to repeal the prohibition on cannabis.
That would be interesting.
It may push them to legalize. And my understanding is that there's already bills in place and ready to go. I guess they just need the sponsorship and the push to go ahead. And from what I understand, it already has bipartisan support. But unfortunately, the Keebler elf types, the more omnipotent moral busybodies, as C.S. Lewis had called them, they want to keep people away from their devil's lettuce, and they believe that there's no medicinal value. And you know, the Mitt Romney types, where a guy with, I think it was multiple sclerosis, says, hey, I have this medical condition, and medical marijuana helps me. And Mitt was basically, oh, too bad, bro. Suck it up. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
We were talking about California saying, we don't want the federal government to boss us around anymore, at least not now. So I read an article from the 10th Amendment Center, and it was talking about how in June the state of California passed a law that would withdraw all resources, support, and everything for the federal government in going after and pursuing people for cannabis, for any type of cannabis that was legal under state law. So they're asserting state supremacy instead of the federal supremacy, which they're usually known for touting. Another article, and this one also from California, in October of this year, October 5th to be exact, and this article is also from Michael Bolden. Yesterday, California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill to withdraw state resources from the enforcement of most federal immigration laws. Once in effect on January 1st, 2018, the new law will likely have the effect of further nullifying those federal acts in practice. Introduced by Senate President Kevin DeLeon and 11 co-sponsors, Senate Bill 54, the California Values Act, prohibits local law enforcement from using resources to arrest, detain, or hold on behalf of immigration federal authorities in most situations.
Now, you know, this has a better chance of working at a low level than the marijuana. You know, the prohibition against helping the feds enforce marijuana laws, the feds can go ahead and try to enforce them, and we don't know how that would come out. This one, I don't know how the feds can defeat this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot more difficult because you generally don't see people selling immigrants in storefronts like you do medical cannabis.
The feds won't see them at all.
Yeah, medical cannabis, they got the green cross in the window. If they're selling Mexicans, they have a red, white, and green cross for the Mexican flag. I don't know. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And quite frankly, I think the feds are going to focus more on smuggling efforts rather than people that are here. But what's really interesting is the people that usually tout federal supremacy are saying, no, you're not really so supreme in this instance. And it's really beautiful. Now, one thing, I was thinking about this during the break when we were chatting, you had said, you know, what's going to happen if they go in and they take down a couple of these dispensaries under federal law and just really throw the book at. Here's one for you. What if in an effort to undermine federal efforts to enforce criminalization of cannabis, the politicians, not just the activists out there, not just the Angela Keaton types or the FIJA types. What if the politicians out there start talking about jury nullification in their stump speeches and they say, you know what? When we have people arrested and charged federally for cannabis, something that's legal in our state, do your duty and judge the law. Don't just judge the evidence, judge the law, because this is your way to be a check on federal power instead of a rubber stamp.
That opens up Pandora's box for them.
I'm not done. What if they say, you know what, this is your way to show that the people are the rightful masters of the federal government and not the other way around? What if they do that because they're so concerned and they're not really paying attention to the Pandora's box that they just opened, and they have encouraged people out in California to abandon their commie ways and become freedom-loving men statists? I'm not going to push for full ANCAP, but...
Well, wouldn't they... maybe they could try to get people to believe that jury nullification can only be used in federal court, because it can be used in any court.
It's a start. I'm sure somebody's going to come up with the idea of, hey, if it works up there, maybe it'll work down here.
But be a good thought.
But the beauty of it, and by the way, the history of nullification goes all the way back to 1798. Jefferson and Madison had talked about it for nullifying the Alien and Sedition Acts. It probably one of the most common or most popular instances of it was when the state of Wisconsin nullified the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 and thereby nullified the Fugitive Slave Act of 1793 and also Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which included the Fugitive Slave Laws. I don't know why all these people are talking about the greatness of the Constitution and they're still trying to take it down. Statist on statist violence. We'll be back second hour.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop,
glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
Is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caress your freedom fiend bone. I'm Randy Englund, and co-host Lou Fien has hacked into the government's subspace mind control to beam our pirate signal of protest directly to your frontal lobes. So wash the government off your hands and out of your brain. Hi, Lou. Are you back?
I am back, and you are loud.
You are
loud.
With... Am I loud? Well, I can
oh, yeah.
back off a little. I thought
you
that
sounded
might
excited.
Happen. I am excited. I'm back.
I do have to do one little minor correction.
Well, be my guest.
I am no longer Lou Fien. I am Lou Sander, because Lou Fien got permazucked. Lou Fien is dead. Long live Lou Fien.
Oh, well, that's what I was trying to do, but is this has anything to do with social media?
Yes. Yes, I was permazucked.
All right, well, we have to bow to that, I think.
So, now I am Lou Sander, but this is not my final form. So, anyway, I will
make the mistake again. At some point. But go ahead.
When I change, I might be Lou Sockenstein at some point. Who knows? I want to go back to the California cannabis story or California nullification story a little
bit.
So it's really wonderful that the folks out in California are nullifying federal law. And as I mentioned before, it does have a long history, the nullification. Interestingly enough, and this article here is from MichaelMeharry.com. This is the fellow that I mentioned earlier. I thought I had written all the articles. But anyway, he was recently on a radio show. This is him speaking. I recently appeared on a radio show to talk about the 10th Amendment and nullification. And the 10th Amendment is that all powers not conferred to the federal government remain with the state government, blah, blah, blah. The conversation moved along marvelously as I explained Madison's blueprint as how state and local governments can thwart unwarrantable federal actions. And there were some that made some little gestures at the indefinite detention provision of NDAA 2012. They said that they would not assist. Now, personally, I think it would have been better if they would have said any federal agents that attempt to indefinitely detain anybody in this jurisdiction will be met as kidnappers and will get the full violence that would be used on a cannabis bust would be used on them. Because it's not really a law until the violence comes in. But anyway, so it says, and even warrantable actions that happen to be unpopular by simply refusing to cooperate with officers of the union. The hosts love the applications of Madison's advice to federal gun control, asset forfeiture, and even the war on drugs. But he said there was one current nullification movement he absolutely opposed. Sanctuary cities. Then
now,
he asked me...
Sanctuary cities is that, I mean, we were just talking about a sanctuary state, right?
Yes.
And does that make the sanctuary cities sort of passe?
A lot of them are in California, so in that regard, it would make it passe. I believe Chicago may be a sanctuary city. But that's only one city in Chicago. I mean, granted, it's a large city in Chicago, but anyway, here's the thing about this. If you support the ability of the state government to nullify things that, you that are outside of the powers of the Constitution. Not that I buy into the Constitution grants powers or wisdom and knowledge or capability, but if you're one of these people that does believe in constitutions, magic parchment, and casting spells upon people and calling them laws, then you probably should embrace when it works the way that it's supposed to, even when it's something that you don't like. Because a lot of people, as an example, there have been states that have done nullification efforts against gun control by passing laws saying that ammunition and firearms that are manufactured within their state and for use in that state are exempt from any restrictions from federal firearms laws. So if you can get behind that because you like gun rights, you kind of need to get behind the sanctuary cities because freedom is it's all intertwined. One freedom is relatable to another.
In weapons cases, criminal weapons possession cases, it's always an element of the federal crime that the weapon had been in interstate commerce.
And please elaborate on that.
Well, if they have to prove, if the law says a felon cannot be in possession of a firearm, and so if they catch you with a firearm, and if you're a convicted felon, and if you're caught with a firearm or possess a firearm, that's not enough to convict you in federal court. There's an additional element that's always charged, and that is that that particular firearm has been transported in interstate commerce, and they have, one of their cops or ATF people track that weapon back to wherever it came from, and they're ready to testify that this thing came from outside the state. And if it didn't come from outside the state, they're not making that case.
What if you bought it inside the state?
As long as it had never been outside the state.
No.
Then it would not have.
What if it was manufactured in another state, and you bought it in the state that you reside in? Is that still under the interstate commerce?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it isn't just the final buyer that constitutes interstate commerce. That could be the manufacturer and a middleman. Whoever brought it into the state would be the person who engaged in interstate commerce.
Are they the ones being charged?
No, it wouldn't have been illegal to bring the weapon into the state. It was illegal for a felon to possess it.
Because here's the thing, though, Randy. If you live in Missouri, notice how I said it the way that you say it.
Thank you.
Funny. Said it funny.
It's not a joke.
Missouri.
Yes.
If you purchase a firearm that was made in another state, but you purchase it in Missouri, you didn't bring it to Missouri, you had nothing to do with it coming from another place into Missouri, that is all stuff that happened before you even knew about that particular gun existing.
That's true.
So how can you be charged with that?
Because the element of the crime about interstate commerce doesn't apply to you, it applies to the weapon.
Okay. So why doesn't it? So you're saying it's like the civil asset forfeiture where the money is charged, not the person?
The gun is not being charged with a crime. Okay. The person who possesses it is, but they're being charged with possession, not with transport. Because they didn't transport it, or at least in a possession case, that it never comes up to as to where they carried it, as long as they can prove some way.
The point I'm trying to make is, how are they charged with something that's beyond their control?
You're leaving the law and going into logic here, and that doesn't always work.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, what was it that Oliver Wendell Holmes said? This ain't a court of justice, son. This is a court of law. Yeah, okay. All right, so anyway, but I think it's wonderful that the governments are going after each other and they're fighting it out, and it's really wonderful, and seeing them use these tactics that will eventually be used to them when the balance of power shifts from one party to another. So I'm hoping that this nullification keeps going. And the best thing that I think we can hope for out of this these precedents is for a type of gridlock to come into place to where they can't get anything accomplished. And once again, I do hope that the California politicians start off their stump speeches with talking about jury nullification. I hope Jerry Brown goes out and he starts his weekly radio address and he says, "Are you tired of good people going to jail? Well, now there's something you can do about it." And just reads the FIJA commercial that runs here on the Freedom Fiends.
They wouldn't even have to write a new one. They could just go with it.
Yeah.
It would be great. And if it happened in California, everyone would be hearing about it.
And you know what would be even better? It would be even better if they live streamed it through Cell 411 and had it on a server to where goons couldn't go and easily take it down.
If
Brown is out on the steps and he's talking about jury nullification and he's got his lackeys streaming them with their chromed robot turds and they're using cell 411 and they're going up to the secure servers, then they can keep the FBI agents from coming along and deleting the footage by taking his phone away. As a matter of fact, when the FBI goons are coming at him, Jerry Brown and his staff can get on 411 and call their security network, you know, their emergency folks, and say, "Come on out here and help us out. We're being attacked by goons." Get cell411.com.
Yes, do get it. If the California legislature didn't like the fact that California citizens are being locked up for the law that the legislature said was okay to sell or possess marijuana, they also would have the power to initiate. They can only initiate jury nullification. You know, you can make jury nullification official by allowing the lawyers that try the case to tell the jury that they're allowed to do it, and for the defense attorney to appeal to them that they should do it. But they couldn't do that in federal court. Well, because federal law would apply there.
That's where the power of the commercials, the weekly radio addresses,
yeah,
by the state politicians, and streaming it on 411, cell 411, that's where that's all going to come in handy to roll back federal tyranny. So please, everybody, embrace that out there in California.
I'm really interested to see what will happen. When one end of government starts fighting with another one, that's interesting. You know, as long as I'm not standing between them, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely a beautiful thing unless you get caught in the crossfire.
Now, the first thing that could happen is that the feds could try to take them to court and have it declared unconstitutional. But it doesn't look like that's probably going to work. We'll see.
We will see. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Cuomo state will sue to block federal tax overhaul. Yeah, amazing.
Hang on before we go into that, though. So
I'll let you bring us into it. What else have in mind?
So I'm going to have to do a "I was wrong" segment. So okay. Last week I was doing the solo show, and I want to thank everybody for the kind messages and reviews that I got on it. I was talking about Daniel Boone, and I talked about how he had said, well, the hell with you guys, I'm going to Texas. Well, I was wrong, because I was corrected by our good friend Ben Stone, the Bag Quaker, and in his little note it says, what correction? People often confuse Daniel Boone, the Kentuckian, with Davy Crockett, the Tennessean, of about 100 years later. And I did. And I was thinking about, huh, is it, do I have this right? Am I getting these two confused? Oh, yeah, 50-50 shot. I thought I had mentioned something about not being sure. But anyway, Daniel Boone helped settle Kentucky. But the same day the Kentucky legislature voted Boone County to be named after old Daniel, an arrest warrant was issued for his arrest. He fled the state and cursed it, heading to the unorganized Missouri Territory to live a stateless free life. Davy Crockett, on the other hand, thought he could fix the evils of government by using government. After years of trying to fix government from within, he gave up and fled to Texas when he provided the great quote, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas," where he died fighting the Mexican government. So Daniel Boone had actually said, well, he didn't actually say this, but I'm going to put words in his mouth, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Missouri." So.
And did he say Missouri, too? That would be heartening for me.
Since I'm making it up, yes, he did.
Thank you.
Who knows? He may have said it, but he may have said it wrong. We don't know, because we weren't back there, and it didn't get loaded on YouTube, and they didn't have Cell 411 to stream and record that speech of his.
I wasn't here yet. I went to school in Boone County, but I wasn't here when he got there.
Or maybe he just dropped the mic and walked out of the room. But anyway, so yeah, let's get to Cuomo here. This was really interesting when I saw this. It was very interesting, and this is from MSN.com, originally from the AP. Governor Cuomo, state will sue to block federal tax overhaul. So they recently had the state of the state speech, or the statist of the state, or the statistment, I think would be a way to call it. But anyway, New York will take Washington to court to challenge the new Republican tax overhaul, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo said Wednesday, calling the new law an unconstitutional assault on states' rights, and New York in particular. So here we have these liberal Democrats talking about states' rights again. Actually, it should be state powers, but and not states' rights. But anyway, the lawsuit is one of several ways Cuomo, a potential 2020 presidential contender, is positioning New York to lead the opposition to President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans. He's also calling for the state to push back on federal attempts to curb environmental protections, immigration, and health care spending. Our federal government is working to roll back so much of what we have done. I wish, he said in his annual State of the State address to lawmakers in Albany. We cannot, we must not let those things happen. In the immortal words of John Paul Jones, we have not yet begun to fight, my friends. USA, USA.
Oh, yeah.
The new law caps a deduction for state and local taxes at $10,000, a move that will increase federal liabilities for homeowners in high-tax states like New York.
Cuomo, yeah, especially the poor and minorities, yeah.
Yeah.
Cuomo, I don't think so.
Cuomo says the change could increase tax liabilities for some New Yorkers by as much as 25%, potentially prompting some to leave for cheaper states and making the state less competitive economically. Let me read,
you know, that's
again.
That's true. He's right. He's,
yes,
so right.
Yes. So, once again, Cuomo says the change could increase tax liabilities for some New Yorkers by as much as 25%, potentially prompting some to leave for cheaper states and making the state less competitive economically. So,
now they know how Illinois feels.
Yeah. So, of course, the solution isn't to make New York State more competitive and to lower the taxes. So what they want is almost kind of like the import tariff that Trump was talking about. They want to they want to find a way to make everybody else less competitive. So anyway, what this really comes down to here is New York State is deferring the cost of their taxes onto the federal government, and people are using their deductions from the federal government to recoup those losses. I don't know why he's so upset, because the Republican president has just closed a tax loophole, and aren't tax loopholes such a bad thing to these Democrats? We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
So Randy, you came up with a thought during the break, and let's talk about that, because it's rather interesting, because it highlights the hypocrisy even more of who's actually going to be affected by this.
Well, the new tax bill, the tax cut supposedly, took out a deduction for paying your state and local taxes. I may be wrong, but I was thinking it was property taxes. But who pays more than $10,000 in property taxes?
People on welfare and food stamps.
Never. They don't pay anything, probably, or they pay, you know, $15 for the junker car if you're really poor, and if you don't have a car, you probably don't pay anything in real estate tax or any kind of property taxes. At least in my state, you only pay for real estate, and then you pay for a vehicle, and those are the only property taxes that we have, and mine don't approach $10,000. My house just isn't big enough, and our tax rates are not as high. But even if California was three times worse than, say, Missouri, where I live, you would still have to be pretty well off to have more than $10,000 in deductible taxes. So these are people that are very well off, and you've got this Democrat, Cuomo, who... Maybe he's doing this. I mean, can you imagine how desperate all of the wannabe presidents in the Democratic Party are? You know, how upsetting it is to be standing in line behind Oprah now? I mean, you got to do something desperate.
Yeah, but he was acting like a jerk long before Oprah even made mention.
That's true, but now he's crying over the rich people in New York who can't deduct all of their property taxes.
It's okay, Governor Cuomo. They can afford it. They've got the money. They're rich.
Well, I don't have a problem with the rich people. I'm just saying he's supposed to have a problem with them, but here he's crying for them.
Well, yeah. He's crying that the rich are actually not getting a tax break, that they're going to get taxed more. And, well, actually, what he's complaining about is that they can't defer the costs because this tax loophole that the Democrats hate has been closed.
So you're saying the only thing that would have made him cry more would be if they'd gotten a tax break?
Probably.
But either way, he's going to complain about it.
Yeah, I think he was going to whine like a little kitten.
You know, when we're talking about California and California refusing to enforce federal marijuana laws and California refusing to enforce immigration laws, I don't think that the government had that. I think California would prevail on that. I don't think that they'll be able to have their refusal declared unconstitutional. Like somebody, the Supreme Court is not going to order California to enforce those laws. But on the other hand,
especially
I don't see how...
There's precedent against state and local agencies enforcing federal laws, because that was used against Sheriff Joe, another horrible person who has thrown his hat in the ring. I guess he's going to run for Senate from Arizona in the next election there, in the next Senate race there. So I don't know if he's going to replace McCain. My God, what a replacement. Going from horrible statist to horrible statist. But anyway.
Maybe when he gets to Washington, he'll have all of his aides sleep in tents.
Yeah, he wants to have the whole country in pink jumpsuits.
Yes. And what is it? Don't they color the food some bad color, like green Spam or something? I don't remember what the... Maybe that's just an apocryphal story from his jails in...
I used to think it was cool that he was the tough law and order guy. Man, I'm so embarrassed by that.
Well, you're long past that. You're long past that. I don't see... I almost don't even get what Cuomo... I mean, I understand why he's complaining, I suppose, but I don't get how you would frame the lawsuit on this to say that it was unconstitutional, that certain tax breaks stayed in and certain ones didn't stay in. And it's like New York has the right to take apart the whatever, you know, craziness Congress came up with. I don't see how that's going to happen. I'm sure he's playing for the crowd there, and like I said, he's got to do something to get back in front of Oprah.
In this article, and my computer is locked up now, so I'm not able to look at it properly. But in this article, he's doing the typical thing, talking about how they're going to sue the opioid makers and all this other stuff. It just he's such a whiny little female dog. It's unbelievable. I can't understand how these people act like this, because he's just, rather than coming up with solutions, he's just whining, bitching, and complaining is what he's doing.
But on the national stage, though, not every governor gets to do that. I'm sure that my governor here in Missouri, I say my governor inadvisedly, but he'd kill for press like that.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, it in my eyes, it makes Cuomo look very weak, like a whiny little teenager.
But that's my dog. You said yes.
Yeah, that too.
I agree. I agree completely. Do you know that I have never set foot in the state of New York? Isn't that somehow, even when I've driven all around up in New England, I somehow avoided ever going through New York?
I drove through it on the way to Porkfest a couple of years ago, and I have to tell you, by the time I hit the Vermont border, I felt very, very dirty.
And that's saying a lot, considering it was the Vermont border.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that Vermont is not the live free or die state.
No, that's New Hampshire.
It's something else, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, New Hampshire's the live free or die state, and in the last presidential primary, I think they went with Hillary. Well, either way, their choice was die or die, and they chose to die.
She didn't get elected, so it didn't happen. Maybe there'll be another chance next time.
Yeah.
So
I'm really really happy with what's going on with politics. You got Oprah throwing her hat in the ring, and I just really love watching it devolve down to the ridiculousness, the professional wrestling level that it's at. I mean, there's not a whole lot that gives me more pleasure than just watching it for the farce that it is, and for it to become just absolutely so undefendable to even the most devout status.
I know, but when you envision in your mind that stage with 10 Democrats up there for the presidential debates and Oprah is in with them, I still cannot imagine her matching Donald Trump for outrageousness.
Oh, no. It's going to be a Schumer show. That's what I love about it. Now, one problem I do have is that with this slow devolution that's going on. I'd like to see it happen a lot quicker because as it descends into idiocracy, Idiocracy 2020 or hashtag Idiocracy 2020, as it just devolves and descends into this horrible, pathetic, disgusting thing that has always been, but it's just more obvious now. I want to see it happen quickly so that it doesn't get normalized. Does that make sense?
What doesn't get normalized?
The fact that it's just such a Schumer show.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't thought about that. I mean, many people have, they look at Donald Trump and, you know, you can see he's this unbelievably pompous character, arrogant and proud, at least in his persona. And as much as you might dislike that personally, you still enjoy the show, just the craziness. I mean, when he's up there insulting the other Republicans on the stage and, you know, calling little Marco and poking fun at who was the lady that he was picking on her face in the debates. I don't even remember her name, but
Hillary?
He was the blonde lady that he was so mean to, and he said she can't be president. Look at her face, he says. I mean, those things. I mean, those are just.
That sounds like Hillary. I know. I can't think of who it is.
I don't remember her name, but there was she was a Republican, and that was. You sit there and you cringe, but then it's kind of like, yeah, you can't look away. It's like watching Jerry Springer or something. And that like I said, you can't turn away from it. And if you put Oprah into the mix, it's going to even get crazier. And I have to sit there and enjoy the fact that all these other jackasses in politics in Washington have to stand there on that stage with Trump and Oprah, perhaps, and act like they're doing this thing with them. And it's so demeaning to them that I just think that's delicious.
Oh, me too. You know, well, what I had mentioned was with the devolving the way that it is and not wanting it to be normalized. When you look at something, for example, you drive past a house that burned down. The first week that it's burned down, every time you go by it, you're like, oh my God, that's horrible. And then after a month, you start to get used to it, and then eventually. That house was always burned down. I don't want people to get used to it being big time wrestling. I just want it to crash and burn immediately. We'll be back. Yeah. Bring out
I'm
Hillary.
With you there.
Hillary can do it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store. Or go to GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Freedom Fiends. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we do not sugarcoat our message. We want you to get full, uncut liberty, and we don't want the government of Seattle to tax our message.
And would they do that?
Lone, Oh, you bet they would. They tax it in a New York minute. They tax it in a government Cuomo minute. So, interestingly enough, here's what has happened. In Seattle, effective January 1st, the city of Seattle's sweetened beverage tax of 1.75 cents per ounce will be included in the retail of all sweetened beverages. Sugar-sweetened beverages created with added caloric sweeteners or syrups will be taxed. The tax does not apply to any syrups or powders intended for person use, such as granulated sugar, honey, agave, or similar products. So I guess that's like if you buy a bag of sugar. So any milk product, infant formula, or beverage for medical use, any alcoholic beverage, water, sparkling water, unsweetened iced teas, diet drinks, and 100% natural fruit or vegetable juices. The tax per item will be reflected on shelf tags and receipts. For more information, see Seattle Ordinance 125324. So interestingly enough, they've decided that they're going to tax the stuff, and it's a two-pronged approach. They are hoping to both simultaneously discourage people from drinking sugary beverages, and they are hoping to increase revenues from the sale of the sugary beverages that they're discouraging people from purchasing. Does that make sense?
It sounds like something that they would do. The thing, when you're taxing, you know, soda pop, though, it just makes you want to cry. It's like, you know, the Beatles song, the Tax Man, which is supposed to be, you know, comical in a way. You know, if you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll tax your seat, right? Take a walk, I'll tax your feet. That's the Tax Man. And here, they're taxing a soda.
Yes, but there's good news. There's been an outrage. And after the Crown levied a tax upon sugary beverages, the people of Seattle threw their Snapple into Puget Sound and drove to Bellevue for theft-free beverages. It's really interesting because I guess Costco is putting out these signs, and the sign that I just read from was, I guess it was at Costco, and it's giving the address of their stores outside of the city limits so that people can go purchase the theft-free beverages without having to pay the additional tax.
But that doesn't help places that serve fountain drinks, like all of the restaurants and that. Don't they have to pay the tax? Was it a dollar? One and three quarter cents per ounce.
Yes, yes. I wonder if it's like the gasoline where you pay $2.99 and 0.9 cents. I wonder if you could get your 0.75 cents back from the government on that.
I mean, I don't know what it costs for a soda in out there. It's in Seattle, but here you get the 32-ounce drink for a buck, and 32 ounces times 1.75 cents, that's about 60 cents or 55, 60 cents.
Yeah.
So $1.65 up there for your big gulp or whatever.
Something
it is. That's pretty bad. But aren't they also dealing with $15 an hour wages there, so maybe they're kind of used to getting gouged.
Here's the interesting thing: they somehow believe that raising the cost of a soda through a tax is going to discourage people from drinking these unhealthy drinks, but raising the price of labor is not going to have any impact on the purchase of labor. I personally am looking forward to seeing the news report of somebody being choked in front of a store for selling Lucy bottles of Dr. Pepper and Snapple and everything else. I think it's going to be funny when you arrive at SeaTac Airport and you go through customs and they say, do you have anything to declare? Alcohol, tobacco, sweetened beverages?
Yes. Now, you are allowed to pump your own gas in Seattle, aren't you?
For now. Thanks for coming on tonight. It's always a pleasure. And thanks to everybody that listened. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Hey, Galoo, great to be on with you. We'll see y'all, well, soon.
Sooner or later. Worms.
Worms.